Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's a pleasure to kick off our holiday season, so to speak, the week after Thanksgiving, with a very special show with two very special people here at WCRI. I say here at WCRI because they spend a lot of time in the studio with me. They do a lot of commercials over the years. They've been excellent clients and patrons of WCRI. And we're talking about Delbury Bock and his beautifully talented wife, Kristen, is here. The two of them are known to many listeners as doing some very clever and interesting commercials over the year for Dell's studio and paintings. And so welcome to both of you. Welcome, Dell.
Hey, Mike. Thanks.
Nice
to be here.
Nice to have you here. He's even using his radio voice.
Yeah.
Do you want to use your radio voice, Kristen?
Oh, well, I have many radio voices.
Right.
This is one of them. And this is another one.
Right.
And it's good to see you, Mike.
Well, let's use the other one for now.
Okay.
This is something I've been looking forward to for a while. Normally, when we work together, which we're recording commercials for Dell's paintings or promotions thereof, the website that has a lot of things going on all the time, as well as, back in the day, you had a gallery that we were talking about was Courtyard Gallery, right?
Courtyard Gallery.
I remember now. See,
yes,
that?
It was great. Mystic's Hidden Treasure.
There you were. And now people can find your paintings by going online to delburybock.com,
that's
right?
That's correct. Absolutely.
Now, let's start at the beginning, and let's go to the most important part of tonight's program. Let's talk about Kristen. Now, in your words, you've been together with Dell for what, 5 years, 10 years?
Oh, many, many more than that. Eons.
Eons.
I think.
Eons. How did this all start?
Okay. Well, actually, to start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. We met in the theater. We both were working in the theater and in the music world. We actually met at the New York Gilbert and Sullivan Players back in the early 80s, right?
1983.
Right. Actually, we had both been performing and working in many places.
So you both worked and lived in New York.
In New York City. Yes, indeed.
When you say the theater, some people might be listening in Westerly thinking, they met at the Granite Theater?
No, actually, we were in New York. We lived in New York. We lived in New York City, both of us, and we were working in various different places. Dell was singing a lot of places, and also there were art connections as well at the time, but we did meet in the theater. We happened to meet at New York Gilbert and Sullivan Players, and I actually was a dancer at the time, although I was doing many other things. And
now, when you say many other things, people's mind might wander a little bit.
Okay, so. Well, I mean, I worked in the theater basically ever since I first got to New York and before I was in New York. So I'd been working in the theater for quite a long time, since the 70s, mid-70s, and earlier than that.
So you were born there, if you're talking about 1970, right? That's when you were.
Well, yeah, I'm a little older than that,
all right,
folks. But I had been doing many things. Among other things, I did a lot of voiceovers. So
you're dancing? You did dancing?
I was a dancer. I was an actress in stage, TV, film, a lot of different things.
And what show were you working on when you met?
Well, actually, I had happened to just audition at New York Gilbert and Sullivan Players, which performed at a theater near where I lived, uptown in.
Was this Aida or what?
Princess Aida.
Yeah, actually, it was Gilbert Princess Aida.
Princess Aida, and it was at the Symphony Space.
Yes.
On 95th
and Broadway.
And I had been performing at the with the New York Gilbert and Sullivan Players since late 79, and we met there. We kind of continued it on a little later.
This is where the official start is.
Yeah, the official start.
I have one of those with my wife. I knew her many years before we knew
each other and worked together for many years, not only there, but other places as well.
Right.
Different opera companies, things like that, New York Grand Opera, Connecticut Opera, as a matter of fact.
Where before you moved to New York, where were you?
In school.
Yeah, but in what?
All right. I went to Smith College. And then I moved to New York directly after. And the first time I auditioned, I got a job, and I pretty much worked ever since.
And where did you grow up? What town?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore.
Yes, I did. I'm from Baltimore. And
are you a Ravens fan, or you don't care?
Well, I was a Baltimore Colts fan.
Okay. All right.
So what I am not now is a Colts fan.
Okay. All okay. Right. I get that. That's, yeah, it's kind of like the Cleveland Browns type thing. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Yes.
Right. Or Dell, how about you? Where did you grow up?
Plainfield, New Jersey.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
Yeah. Great, man. Great. I love it.
Plainfield, New Jersey. And you are world-renowned as an artist, as well as your singing and performing, which was kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. But your artwork is everywhere. And when did that all start? Did that right as soon as you can remember doodling on a pad?
Well, basically, it was probably when I was about 9. My grandfather was an amateur painter and also had a beautiful baritone voice. Mm-hmm. So he actually started me going, and that's how it really started. And of course, ended up at the University of Hartford Art School, and I went to Hart College of Music and on and on. And directly out of that, I went to New York City when I wasn't very good in school. I didn't care about it. I did 1 year in the art school, and mm-hmm. I hated it. It was all minimalist conceptualism and stuff like that. I switched over to Hart College. And I had a scholarship there. I sang opera in the opera productions and studied voice and everything. And then I decided I wanted to come to New York. And I had a little gig in New York. It was the Light Opera Manhattan. They had
so at that time you thought you were going to be a singer, not a painter, so to speak.
Yeah, well, I was a little disillusioned at that point because of all the stuff that had gone on with the art, you know, at the art school. Mm-hmm. And so I came to the city and I thought, yeah, the stepping stone to Broadway. I'm here, you know. And, of course, I got a reality grip when I got there and had to work all these odd jobs. And I sang, you know, at the Light Opera Manhattan and
now,
moved on.
Did you have to practice?
Oh, yeah. I had to practice.
Well, see, what a segue. See the way I am? Because we have a clip of early Dell.
Yes.
This is early Dell and actually at Carnegie Hall, right?
True. This is June 19th. 1989, Carnegie Hall. I was a soloist in. We were doing with the Manhattan Philharmonic Orchestra, and it was this triumphal scene from Aida, and I was singing Rhamphus.
Right.
And so I believe we have a portion.
All right, let's listen to that clip.
Oh,
Carnegie Hall. They heard the audience applauding, so it was live. Live at Carnegie Hall.
Live performance. Kristen actually recorded that from the balcony.
That's an illegal recording.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is, in fact, an illegal recording. The thing about so much of the things that back in the time that both of us were performing a lot, there were not recordings readily made of everything. I think everybody knows the problem.
I know the problem very well. Yeah. A lot of those you couldn't, even if you wanted to, to pay, you couldn't because of all the union contracts.
Absolutely.
And everything else.
Absolutely. A lot of things that are done.
So if there's anyone from ASCAP listening, Delbury Box email address is. Actually, one of the purposes of this show is to make sure that you are introduced to our audience in a different way than you normally are, but we don't want to gloss over the fact that Delbury Box paintings are something you could be looking at while you're listening to the show, and in order to do that, they go to the website, right?
Yes, and that's delburybach.com. And from that website, you can link to all the venues where you can see his paintings. You can see a lot of the paintings online as well, but they'll tell you all about the shows that are coming up. And those that have been passed, too.
Why don't you spell it out for everyone?
Oh, all right. That's DELBOURREEBACH.com.
Okay. So classical listeners, just like that other guy, Johann Sebastian, right?
Totally.
That's right.
He's your first cousin?
Actually, he is a second cousin in a number of greats back. But, you know.
Many seconds.
He had a lot of children and a lot of grandchildren, you know.
So you can actually trace the family roots back?
That's what my mother said anyway.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, it wasn't her family, so whatever.
All right. Well, we're leaving Carnegie Hall, and we're going to go to our next little clip here in a moment. And this is the Pirate King. Where does this take place?
Well, it takes place at the New York Gilbert and Sullivan Players, again, at Symphony Space in Manhattan. And
wasn't this done by a world-famous director at the time?
Yes, it was. Okay. My wife, Kristen, directed me in a number of shows at with the New York Gilbert and Sullivan Players, including other shows, including HMS Pinafore.
Gondoliers. Yeoman of the Guard, Pirate King. The Pirates Penzance. And actually, the last thing that I did there directed was not Gilbert and Sullivan at all, and it was Gershwin's Of Thee I Sing, and it was the only New York revival that has ever been done or was been allowed by the Gershwin Foundation to be done since the original production in the 20s. And I don't know, Of Thee I Sing was the first musical to win a Pulitzer Prize. I don't know if anybody knows that.
But not to get everyone excited. We have no clips from
that. Absolutely.
But we do have another Pirate King clip, right?
Yes. Actually, that's not really pirated because...
This one coming up?
No, because every Equity production is always archivally recorded. And they can be available. You can go to the Library of the Performing Arts in New York and look at the whole thing if you like, but you can't take it out. But play segments of it.
Let's listen to a portion of The Pirate King, then we'll take a short break and be back with more.
It is comparatively honest. No, Frederick, I shall live and die a Pirate King! Thank you.
Del and Kristen are special guests on Conducting Conversations tonight. I'm Mike Mano, and we've been talking to both of them about their experience in the music world and not so much in the painting world, which Del is known for very much, and Kristen manages and handles the website and actually does most of the paintings herself, but put Del's name on them. I don't know if that's true or not. But
No, it's not that big eyes guy, you know.
Okay. Now, there's also the opportunity for people to see your work, Del, at many galleries. Kristen, why don't you just rattle off a few galleries?
A few of the galleries. Well, in the area, well, of course, you can see work at the Providence Art Club, at Susan Powell Fine Art in Madison, Connecticut, Finer Line Gallery in Mystic, Lyme Art Association in Lyme, in this area. And then, of course, in Boston at the Copley Society, New York at Salmagundi Club, and on Cape Cod, Maine, Florida, different places. But on the website, you'll find all of them listed.
So now the website works kind of uniquely. You don't go there, see a painting, and say, I want to buy that, right?
Right.
You have to then go. Once you see what you want, then go to the gallery.
Yes, everything is linked to the galleries, which is a good way to do it. Let them do the selling. Del does the painting.
There you go. Del does the painting, and Del, you know, is a starving artist. So please go to the website. I mean, you'll see that there's a lot of very, very inexpensive things on the website. You could either have a house or a Del Braybach painting.
You got $3 or $4, you're good to go.
Now, check it out. It's also something which I think we will save till the end of the show called Dinky Dells.
Oh, I think we need to save that to the end.
We'll save that for the end. All right. We'll use that as a teaser. How did painting get involved with theater work? How did that start?
Well, I work with Kristen in a number of venues. We talked about the New York Gilbert and Sullivan Players, but I also work with her at the New York Grand Operas in the park, in Central Park, over many years. And Kristen can elaborate a little bit more on that. But I not only sang roles in the operas, in the Verdi operas particularly, and a few other composers, but I also designed a few of the sets. And so there was a segue there.
There's a segue between painting on a piece of paper and designing a set for Central Park.
Yeah.
Yes. It's New York Grand Opera, I would like to say, was a unique situation. Maestro Vincent LaSalvo was an incredible man and a wonderful conductor, loved by many musicians and conductors all over the world. And he had the idea that he wanted to bring the opera free to the people in New York City in Central Park, in the People's Park. And so.
And this was for more than 100 people at a time.
This was for many, many people. If anybody's been to concerts in Central Park, they know what you're talking about. But this was fully staged operas. And at one time.
We had up to about 15,000 people.
Yes. Wow. 15,000 people sometimes. But these operas were fully staged. And at one point, Vincent decided to do the complete works of Verdi in chronological order, in their original form. So in other words, if it was originally written in French, we sung it, it was done in French. If it was whatever it
mais
is.
Oui.
Don Carlos, not Don Carlo. And full, long versions, everything, fully staged. And there were some of the operas had never even been performed in the United States before, staged at that time. And it was done, it was obviously went over a long time. I was the production manager for the entire series.
Wow.
But I was also director. All the first few years, I said, I can't direct and do this too. But eventually, then I was directing. And I always ended up directing. I always said I got to direct the shows with the most armies. I don't know.
I want to get to our next piece of music here and tell a little bit of a story that our audience will be aware of, that Del was in a show that eventually got to Theater by the Sea. So from New York to Theater by the Sea, which is familiar to our audience, and that was Anything Goes?
Right. It was a kind of a fun thing how it happened. At Symphony Space, where we performed the New York Gilbert and Sullivan Players stuff, they also did a wall-to-wall programs. They did Gershwin, Cole Porter, Rodgers and Hammerstein, et cetera. And in one of these, the wall-to-wall Cole Porter, I was asked by John McGlynn, who is a famous conductor, he has passed away since recently, but to be in the quartet to back up and to do a couple of segments and Anything Goes. And I said, oh, okay, why not? And then shortly later, I had auditioned for Theater by the Sea a totally separate way. And they hired me to do the captain in Anything Goes. And it was this 1988. And so I did that and did all the quartet numbers. They threw the captain in and the quartet numbers. And then John McGlynn contacted me and said, we really liked you, what you did on the wall-to-wall thing. And how would you like to come across the pond, go to London, and sing it on the London Symphony Orchestra recording that I'm doing? And I said,
let me check my calendar.
Yeah, let me check. I think I'll go, right?
So it was a little trio of things, and it was great. I had a great time. We also did a concert, a live concert of Cole Porter, which we did over there while we were there. So it was an amazing experience.
All right, let's listen to that clip of Anything Goes.
A sailor's life is supposed to be a hell of a lot of fun. Yes, but when you're a sailor, take it from me, you work like a son of a gun. They give us jobs of every kind and chores of every sort.
But sweat away, sailor,
as you know, when you hit port, there will
always be a lady fair, a Jenny fair, or a Sadie fair. There'll always be a lady fair who's waiting there for you. There will always be a lady fair to smooth your troubles and to muss your hair. There'll always be a lady fair who's waiting there for you.
There will always be a woman's charms to kill your worries and to fill your arms.
There'll always be a lady fair who's waiting there for you.
When you're 3 days out and the time arrives, when you're hankering for the dames,
there are always certain passengers' wives who will help you further your aims.
So when the moon isn't too damn bright and the sea isn't too damn rough,
call up to the deck late at night,
and you'll find that sure enough, there will
always be a lady fair, a Jenny fair, or a Sadie fair.
There'll always be a lady fair who's waiting there for you.
There will always be a girl's caress to change your answer from a no to yes.
There'll always be a lady fair who's waiting there for you.
You will always find a maiden sweet
to cool your temper and to warm your feet.
There'll always be a lady fair who's waiting there for you.
Very impressive, Del. That was that's a recording on a regular professional recording CD that we took that off of, and not sure if it's still available, but
it is actually. Okay. Yeah, you can find it.
All right, there you go. Now the quartet you mentioned, being the captain, and then being in the quartet. What's this next recording that we're going to hear?
Yeah, this next quartet is the four sailors, who I'll tell you who they are. Brian Landrin, Michael B. Whaling, Bruce Hubbard, and myself. Now, there's a little story. We recorded this with the London Symphony Orchestra in London. It's on EMI recording. And a couple of the people on this recording had smaller roles, and so they changed their name, including, hold on 2 seconds, the first girl, Judy Green, who is actually Judy Kay, who had just won a Tony Award recently on Broadway, and she thought her role was a little small, so she went by her married name.
Oh.
And in the quartet, Michael B. Whaling was mm-hmm. actually Michael McGuire, who just won the Tony Award for Les Mis.
Oh.
So he thought his part
the original
was
Les Mis.
Right. Yeah, so okay. It was quite an interesting, and the rest of them were all, it was a great cast, including Kim Criswell, Frederica von Stott, Jack Gilford was great.
Mm-hmm.
He came over, among others. Anyway, and of course it was John McGlynn who conducted the orchestra. And it was a great, great experience.
Sounds like a great opportunity. Let's give that a listen. Then we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more of Dinky Dell. Happy holidays, everyone. It's getting to be that time of year, and here we are with Del and Kristen, and we're going to get into the Christmas mode, if you will. We're going to have a little bit of Christmas music provided by Del, but before we do that, I want to make sure that everyone understands that the real reason that Del and I know each other is because of his painting, not because of his singing necessarily. And the painting, if you haven't seen any of Del's work, it is truly amazing. Award-winning artist. And Del, what kind of artist would you call yourself? Would I say you're a realist, a naturalist?
Well, I would say, both. I call myself a contemporary realist. I do work very, my work is very peaceful, clean, highly detailed. I do landscapes, seascapes. I'm inspired by nature.
And they look like what you're painting.
Yeah, I have always enjoyed it. I started off as an illustrator in New York when I was actually doing the two careers for a while,
right.
The music and the art. And I was always doing very tight illustrations for such things as a New York Times science section, E.P. Dutton. I did a couple of books for Isaac Asimov, that kind of thing. And so I just, I'm naturally drawn to more realistic style.
Right. And your paintings are available. And Kristen, let's tell people about the website again.
Okay. You can see a lot of Del's paintings on his website, which is delboraybach.com. You can find that. And that'll link you to all the galleries and all the shows. Del sells his work through the galleries. Right now, there's a lot of holiday shows going on.
And this is the teaser that we started with, right?
It certainly is.
Dinky Dells. You have to explain Dinky Dells.
Well, as I say, there are a lot of holiday shows going on at various places. And the Providence Art Club actually is the longest running holiday show. I believe this is absolutely the truth, and they advertise it that way. It's in its 117th year, and a portion of the sales go to support the Providence Art Club. If any of you have ever been there, it's a beautiful building, and it's a lovely place.
Or buildings.
Buildings, yeah, yes. I shouldn't say that. It's on Thomas Street, practically a whole side of Thomas Street, next on the other side of the Baptist Church there in Providence, you know. And it's really lovely. And that's where you can find what people fondly refer to as Dinky Dells.
This time of year, right?
This time of year. And this time of year only at the Providence Art Club Little Pictures Show, you can find Dinky Dells. They're miniatures. Del has painted everything from miniature 4x4s to, as we said earlier, sets for a giant stage in Central Park for Trovatore. Anyway, but so these are the tiniest, and they're the Dinky Dells. And they're available at this time of year only.
Right, and so we did not dub them, that Dinky Dells. That was a gallery owner that said, "Oh, we just sold one of your dinkies." And so I said, "Oh, I like that." So
yeah,
that
so it's always been a lot
so
of fun.
Now, right?
And you can go there, and but it's also, that's one of the places. There's also holiday shows at Lyme Art Association in Lyme, at Copley Society in Boston, Salmagundi Club in New York, and several other galleries around.
Mystic.
So Mystic, Finer Line Gallery, and
check out DELBORRERBACH.com.
Well, there you go.
There you go. There you have it. That's it.
All right. We did say it was the Christmas time of year, and we have some Christmas music that Del, you did. Let's talk about Silent Night and who's singing here.
Okay. Well, this was a group that guys that I got together. We called ourselves the Uncalled For.
The Uncalled For.
Right.
I get it.
And it consisted of my buddies, all opera singers who that I met at Hart College of Music, Warren Mock, Bill Thomas, Steve Calm, and of course me. Mm-hmm. And what we did was
there were four in your quartet. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I had to do the math for a second.
I get that question all the time. Yeah. How many people in your quartet?
That's great.
So we started, and what we did, we would just sing on the streets of Manhattan during the holiday season. And we'd go to Penn Station. We did the ferry to Staten Island. We would just wherever we could go. And one story, I have to tell this one story. We had been singing for 3 hours. Now, we didn't have mics or anything. We were just bellowing away out there, you know. And we'd have, you know, and we'd put out the hat, you know, a whole bit. You know, we had the long coats and the scarves, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Well, we were on the steps of St. Patrick's Cathedral. And we were getting tired, 3 hours, you know, blaring away. And we were just about to finish because we only had maybe three people looking at us at that point. And all of a sudden, somebody comes out from the cathedral and says, We were inside and we heard you guys sing. We have a small group that want. Could you sing a little bit more? And we were looking at each other. All right. You know, whatever. We'll make another, you know, little couple pennies or something. Anyway, so we came out and we did our. We started. I don't even remember what we did, but we did. We had a standard. We had about 25 songs that we did, but we narrowed it down to, you know, the top 10. You know, that everyone loved. You know. And so we started doing, Deck the Halls or blah, whatever. And we're blaring away. And suddenly that small crowd was 200 people. And then it got to be 500. It stopped traffic. The cops came and they had to stop maneuver traffic on Fifth Avenue. And then it started to snow.
How pretty.
And I wish we had iPhones back then. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'll never forget that. And it was a magical experience. Anyway, and these guys were great. Let's see. Warren Mock, he's the high tenor. He turned out, he has an international career in opera. He's based in Hong Kong. He's still singing. Amazing mm-hmm. voice. Bill Thomas was my best buddy in college. Mm-hmm. Had a beautiful, beautiful tenor voice, too. He was he's the lead in this.
So, Bill, he's the guy that would have the pictures of you that I want to see, right, in college?
Oh, boy.
All those pictures, right. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that some other time.
Okay.
And then Steve Kahn, who ended up, he had a career in opera, and then he was teaching voice at the mm-hmm. University of Minnesota. And then myself. And he's the baritone, and of course, I was the bass in the quartet.
All right. Well, let's listen to a clip of the quartet called the
Uncalled
Four. All right. Listen to that. Take a short break and be back with more. Break and be Del, did you have to learn the German for Silent Night, or did you already have a handle on it?
Well, we had to sing in different languages being in the opera world, so we all sort of knew it. But, you know, we had to practice it. You know,
like anything else.
Yeah, exactly.
But it wasn't something that you just – you probably couldn't do it today, right?
Not as easily, no. Don't test me.
Right, there you go. No test coming up here.
Okay.
But I would like you to do it in Swahili, if you could.
Hmm.
So it's always interesting when you have to sing in a different language. My wife's chorus actually did a song that was in Swahili, and it was interesting learning the language. That's why it came to my mind. That was the most recent thing I had to deal with in another language. French you hear all the time, German,
right.
You know, whatever, even Spanish, but that was interesting. Let's get to some more things about delbrybach.com, which is the name of the website where Del is exhibiting his paintings. And I do want to mention one other thing. Last year, at this time of year, you had a very interesting award, so to speak, I guess. It was awarded to you that Amica Insurance Company selected you as their Artist of the Year, right?
Yeah, it was great. Their 50th year. Mm-hmm. And I was very honored to have it, and it came through. They saw my work on my website, and they called me out of the blue and said, "Well, we would like to have you be our 50th year. We need a fall painting, blah blah blah." And I didn't really have any fall paintings, so I said, "How much time do I have? How much lead time?" And well, in about 2 weeks, we'll decide who we're going to pick. They were looking at other artists too, so I did a painting, and they liked it, and they. That's the there rest is history.
There you go. I'm an Amica customer, so I got one in the mail, as thousands and thousands of other people did. That's kind of cool. Now, and that's not to be confused with the fact that someone can call you up and say, "I need you to paint my dog" or something like that. You don't normally do that kind of work?
No, I as an illustrator in New York, I did everything was basically a commission, you know, somebody else's idea, and I had to put it together. And so now I rarely do commissions. Occasionally I'll do one for a very, very, very good client.
In other words, a lot of money.
Yeah, $6 or $7 anyway.
Yeah, there you go. All right, but that's not the kind of business you normally do.
No, I basically paint what I want to, and fortunately enough people love it to support me and Kristen and pay the bills.
There you go, and that's how it all works. Speaking of that, there'll be some shows coming up after the first of the year, right, Kristen?
Yes. Actually, around this time of year, Dell gets busy. Once he gets all of the Dinky Dells done and all the paintings for the small work show, he starts looking bigger, and every year he has a solo show at Hughes Gallery in Boca Grande, Florida, and he has for last 20 years, more than 20 years.
Now, do you go down there for any of that?
Well, we will go down this year. The last couple of years, the pandemic killed a lot of travel.
But we ship the work.
Yeah.
When will you be down there this year?
Well, the show is going to open February 4th. And hopefully we'll be there at that time.
So if I were to go down, I could find you there.
You could.
All right.
You could indeed.
I think I'm going to work on that.
Okay. That
sounds good. Let us know when you're coming and we'll lock the doors.
you think I'm kidding, don't you?
I know. I don't.
Well, yeah, I am planning a trip about that time of year. Good. Maybe I can work it out and, you can treat me to not a lobster roll. They don't have lobster rolls down there.
No, but they've got a lot of good stuff.
All right. Well, we'll figure that out. I want to thank you both for coming in. This holiday time of year is busy for everyone, and you certainly have brightened our studio here, as you always do at WCRI. Thanks for coming in and tell us about a side of Dell that a lot of people might not have been aware of recently, and that's the singing side. We have one more piece of music to go that is very appropriate for this time of year, and this is Dell alone, not in a quartet. But with piano accompaniment.
Yes, Brian Louisel is the pianist who currently is composing and working for Disney. So he's quite a talent, and this is a...
Maybe we can all have a reunion when we get to Florida.
Ooh, that sounds like a plan.
All right, Kristen, thank you so much for your information and coming
in. Oh, it's great to be here, Mike, as always.
Nice to have you with us, and Dell, thank you specifically for everything you do, and happy holidays to both of you.
Happy holidays, Mike.
Here we go with White Christmas.
May all your Christmases. word I write. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.